Hey, hey, hey. Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, the capital city of Madison. The John and Gordy Show. I hate to start sounding like Dr. What? Johnny Fever, but, you know, he complained about not having a coffee machine. But, you know, I want some tissue paper in this studio.
You want some Kleenex?
They've taken all the human comforts out, you know, the garbage can, the tissue paper. Next thing you know, you know.
What?
Lock the bathrooms so we can't use those.
Well, there used to be a Kleenex box in here, wasn't there?
Maybe.
No. They hide it all from
during
us.
This program, we do a lot of crying. And we need tissue paper.
We do. Yeah. So there's a lot of weeping, a lot of crying, a lot of wailing.
A lot of sad news. A lot of anger. Tears of anger. Tears of frustration. It? Yes. Yeah.
Well, here it is Thursday. It's the 22nd day of February, and it's kind of cloudy out there this morning, but very mild, 34 degrees, but it's going to get into the upper 50s today.
50s again.
57 degrees.
That was really warm yesterday. What, 57 degrees yesterday, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, wow. It was close to that.
This is unbelievable. I took a walk. I walked downtown. I live in Middleton, so a little walk around there. It's 1 mile. Walked downtown and back to my house, which is right outside town. It's fantastic. Just great.
Unbelievable. Mild. It's just nutty. And now I hear we're going to get a little cold spell for a couple of days.
Tomorrow
and the next day. But, you know, it's still way above normal for this time of year. So, it doesn't really affect things too much.
Get all the way down to like 42 or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. So, it's going to be a beautiful day.
So we're going to talk about the Birkebeiner a little bit later, too.
Yeah, we have our special correspondent, Catherine Lake, is going to be checking in about a half hour, I think. Yeah, everything you ever wanted to know about the Birkebeiner. They have no snow up there. How are they even doing this?
I don't know.
That's the question. Yeah. So we'll find out.
We've got Todd Elm up there. You know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah. And, of course, it started up yesterday, goes all the way through Sunday, all kinds of events.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
A lot of snow events.
Yeah, a lot of things going on there. No snow, but it's the 50th anniversary, I understand. But Catherine's going to check in a little later on and tell us what we need to know.
Just what we need to know. You bet.
Yeah.
We'll keep you informed.
Well, yes. Keep you informed and up to date. Up to date and informed.
Yep.
Okay.
The old cliches. We pulled them out.
Oh, we got them all. Yes.
They don't expire.
Nope. No expiration date on those cliches. Today is National.
Are we going to do that?
Are we ready for this? All right.
Yeah,
we're ready. Which one of these is it not today? Okay. Is it not National Supermarket Employee Day? Is it National California Day, or is it not? Is it National Chili Day, or is it not? Or is it National Cook a Sweet Potato Day, or not? Or National Margarita Day, or not? Or National Vanilla Cupcake Day? Which one of those days does not belong? Sam, I know you know the answer, but just pretend you don't.
I'm going to take a guess at Cook a Sweet Potato Day. That sounds weird.
That is wrong.
Oh,
hit the buzzer.
Man.
That is so badly wrong. It is National Cook a Sweet Potato Day. John, what is it not? National Vanilla Cupcake Day, National Margarita Day, National Chili Day, National California Day, or National
California Day.
You are also wrong. It is National California Day.
Wow.
It's not National Vanilla Cupcake Day. Why would they have a day for vanilla cupcakes anyway?
Why would they have a day for any of the subjects you just mentioned? Come on.
Well, National Supermarket Employee Day, you know, there are a lot of people working behind the scenes and, you know, at the cash registers, at supermarkets. Yeah. We salute you on this day. They are a vital element in our supply chain and community.
Yes.
Be nice to your supermarket employee days.
We really appreciate them because during COVID, they became an important cog in keeping us fed.
They feed our families. They enrich our lives. You know, they stock the shelves.
They risk their life.
They risk their lives.
To stock those shelves.
Every day.
To make sure we had food.
Deliver produce and dry goods and prepared meals and frozen foods and so much more. I would salute the National Supermarket Employees.
Bake a sweet potato day, cook a sweet potato, because that sounds like something he would try to do and get frustrated and then put it down on paper and say, hey, I bet that makes a great day.
You.
Me?
Yeah.
What, a sweet potato?
Yeah. It sounds like something you try to, you know, do maybe in the microwave oven yes. and get real frustrated.
Is it really that hard to cook a sweet potato?
No. I wouldn't think so. You just put some aluminum foil around and
no,
throw it in the oven.
Not in a microwave, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You wrap it in plastic wrap. And then you put it in the microwave oven.
See what happens?
And no, it cooks.
Does it really?
It steams, yeah.
Plastic
it steams,
wrap.
And it's fantastic that way.
You know so much. It's just amazing. You are Mr. Know-It-All.
He's just a true chef.
I am. That's it. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, it's National California Day.
Yeah,
let's
what is that?
Recognize the Golden State, known for its beauty and glamour and wineries and natural wonders.
Yes.
They, for more than a century, Spanish missionaries settled in California and manifest destiny, and Mexican-American War would play a pivotal role in making California a U.S. territory.
Absolutely.
You know, we took it over.
You know, Zorro had a big hand in that as well.
Zorro did?
Yeah, he was definitely trying to protect the new state.
Okay. He was good with that sword, man. He made that Z really every beginning
did
of that.
Anybody here watch Zorro at all?
You don't. You
no, I've heard of it, but
Zorro.
I haven't watched it.
Zorro, not Zorro.
Zorro.
But yeah, the movies.
The movies came out way later than the TV show.
Antonio Banderas. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, up to date. If you didn't watch the original Walt Disney's Zorro, then at least you know Antonio Banderas played Zorro twice.
Yeah.
And that was the whole story there. He protected California.
Cool.
Young
movies.
California from the Spaniards.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
All right, National Chili Day.
Who am I?
You're just a caveman.
Just a guy who sits in front of a TV all day.
Yeah, and then a microphone all night.
Yeah.
Or in the morning.
In the morning.
Okay. National Chili Day today. Oh, what's
you got to love chili. So,
especially this time of year when it's cold outside. Oh, wait, it's not cold outside. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I gave you the chili recipe.
Yes.
Remember
yeah,
for
that
a big party.
Was that the Packer party? I think.
We have so many parties.
Yeah.
but
it was a good chili recipe. Everybody loved it.
Yeah, it was a different kind of chili. It didn't have a whole lot of tomato sauce in it.
Right.
You know,
which is okay.
But, yeah. It's just different that way.
Mm-hmm. It was very good chili. Yeah. I'm thinking about it now. I kind of could go for a bowl of chili right now, first thing in the morning.
Maybe you should go out and shop for it like you did the last time. That turned out to be a real debacle.
That was
for
really
you,
fun.
Wasn't it?
Spending an hour and a half in a supermarket that we'd never been in before. And,
see,
yeah,
I know they're tough, especially new supermarkets that you haven't been in.
Here's the real question: okay. Do noodles belong in chili?
That is a really good question. That is.
Boy, yeah.
You know, I'd almost think that somewhere along the way it was kind of a Midwestern thing being from Milwaukee, we put as much filler into our food as we possibly could.
Yeah.
Because
just anything that goes in the pot.
Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. So noodles is kind of a nice filler.
I would say that noodles don't belong in chili.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a restaurant in Milwaukee called Chili's, and I think it was or hot chili or whatever it was downtown, and they had an option where you could add noodles to your chili.
That's fascinating. I'm blown away by that information.
Only sick and twisted people add noodles to their chili.
Okay.
Wow. Isn't Chili's a...
You really have an opinion.
Oh,
there,
I do.
Sam.
I do.
Yeah. No noodles for Sam.
No.
Okay.
If I wanted noodles, I'd have spaghetti.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, do you want noodles
exactly.
with your spaghetti?
Drawing a line in the sand now. Okay. It's also National Cook a Sweet Potato Day.
Yes.
And I love sweet potatoes.
I know.
They're good for you, too.
Why? Right? Is there a reason for that?
All right. Let me check.
Was there a description in regards to that?
Across the U.S., National Cook a Sweet Potato Day on February 22nd celebrates a root vegetable packed with flavor and a bit of history, too. Either Central America or South America is thought to be the center or origin of the domestication of sweet potatoes.
It's, yams? Is that the same as yams?
I don't know. In Central America, I think so. In Central America, sweet potatoes were domesticated at least 5,000 years ago.
It's good to domesticate a potato. You gotta tame those.
Domesticated potatoes.
Really have to tame them. They had to be a little bit more friendly to humans.
It's a great band name, Domesticated Potatoes. Write that one down. Peruvian sweet potatoes remnants dating as far back as 8,000 BC have been found in South America. The sweet potato's been around for a long, long time. We salute the sweet potato, especially the domesticated sweet potatoes. We love those guys. They're a great band. All right. What a day. I guess that's it. That's it for the National Day calendar. Sam, do you have any?
No, there's one more. Isn't there? Or
oh, Margarita Day.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is. There are a lot of drinkers out there just waiting.
Yeah, they're already starting to drink those margaritas first thing in the morning. And, you know, this is great.
I used to go to Chi-Chi's and get their margaritas and have their chips for free chips.
Chi-Chi's.
Fantastic. That was so good.
What happened to Chi-Chi's? You know, they had such a good thing going, but bad management, apparently.
They sold them. Yeah.
Did they? Okay. National Margarita Day. Oh, we might have to play our tequila public service announcement here, but at some point later today. National Margarita Day. Mm-hmm. Most common tequila-based cocktail served in the U.S. Margarita's cocktail consists of tequila, triple sec, and lime or lemon juice, key ingredient. Yeah, okay. I don't know why it's today, but it's National Margarita Day. Drink up.
Super.
Let's have some margaritas. Wait, let's get it going. We need a wet bar in here.
McGee who had Chi-Chi's?
I don't know. Have no idea.
Okay.
Could be.
I know he had a goalpost or whatever it was, some kind of supper club.
Yeah. Yeah. Max McGee. I don't know about margarita. Yeah.
Chi-Chi's.
Chi-Chi's? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's it for the Sam. You have some history notes here.
Oh,
we're
sure.
Done with the National Day calendar.
That's quite a bit of national days today.
Yeah, way too much.
Let's crack open the history books. We got 1 minute left to get through all this.
Okay, great.
Today, exhausted. In 1978, Navistar 1 was launched. Now you might be saying, "What is Navistar 1?" Well,
yeah, what was it?
First operational GPS satellite.
Wow, oh, cool.
What would we do without GPS?
Way back in the 70s.
Oh, I know.
First went online for civilians way back in 1995.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
They finally shared it with us, and now we're running all over the place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today
checking
in 1980, the Miracle on Ice at the 1980 Winter Olympics.
Oh, yes.
Miracle on Ice. Al Michaels with the call.
And today in 1997, Dolly the Sheep was announced to the world.
Oh,
the first clone mammal?
Yep, that's
right. Is that
right?
Okay. Oh.
You can see what happened after all that.
Let's have a margarita.
We're starting to clone humans.
Don't know the reason.
All the leaves are brown.
Global warming, climate change, not happening.
It's National California Day, so we salute California.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mamas and papas.
Mamas and papas. Oh. Haven't heard enough of that song.
Oh, boy.
It's a good song. I like it.
Mad Radio.
Spoken
like somebody who hasn't lived very long.
Oh, jeez, take a shot. Okay. Boom. What's he supposed to do about that?
Well, you can't do nothing about that.
Can't do nothing. Okay.
Just hope you live longer. Okay, Mad Radio WMDX. Just check in here.
Okay.
92.7 FM if you're wandering around the radio dial right now. And 1580 AM broadcasting from the capital city. Look, people are running by right now.
Yeah, they are. The group of joggers
just
right down State Street.
Bring them up.
This is another reason I'd like to be able to open the window, but it just won't open. It should
so
open.
You could just shout at them. Some kind of cranky old man. Get off my sidewalk.
Yeah, we can use our t-shirt gun.
Yes.
Give them some free merch.
It's really hard to just, you know, open the windows here. It can be done, but not easily.
No.
Hey, guess what? We have more George Michael, Life of Music of George Michael tickets to give away. This is a big, big show Saturday, February 24th, this coming Saturday at the Overture Center right across the street there. And everything you've ever wanted to know about George Michael is in this show. The life, the music. The other guy from Wham, ignored completely in this show. They don't even mention him, as I understand it. He's not a part of the deal. If you would like to win tickets, it's easy to do. You could just text us. Yeah, you could text us and win these tickets. Or you can call us, 608-879-8255. 608-879-8255. That's the number to call or text, and you could be at the show this Saturday night at the Overture Center, The Life and Music of George Michael.
Exactly. Now, okay, let's get to something that is so bizarre and so surreal.
Yeah.
Tammy Baldwin has a competitor now for the Senate seat.
Oh, yeah.
She's running again, of course, but now she has someone that has deep pockets, and that is Eric Hovde, a billionaire kind of guy that lives out in California.
Yeah.
We love the carpetbaggers coming back to the state.
He's a big developer around here, right?
He is.
He made a lot of money.
Yes.
And then he went to California. He lives in a gated community there. And, right. So he's running for Senate.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And he destroyed a building right down here on State Street.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a few landmarks. Take him out. Take him out. Thank you, Eric. So this guy has like a $2.5 billion bank that he owns in California. He's lived there. He's lived all over the globe, and he's willing to at least remind people of it. The odd thing about this is that he says he understands the tragedy of children being trafficked through Central America because, get this, he owns homes all over the world.
Okay.
Here is his explanation.
And what's happening to those people on the journey? It's not just a humanitarian crisis for our country, but do you know how many lives are lost on that journey to get here? How many people's life savings have been wiped out by the human trafficking cartels? And they've lost 100,000 children that they can't account for.
Oh.
Let me assure you, more than a few of them have ended up being sexually trafficked.
Okay.
I know this all too well. I have homes, or my brother and I have homes all over the country, over the world. And we have three in Central America that deal with issues like this.
Great. Why don't you build a home in a place that traffics kids, all right?
Yep.
I'm stunned by this. I mean, well, why don't you tell us about how rich you are, Eric?
Because,
you know, he can identify with these poor kids who are being trafficked for sex. I get it, Eric. You really understand the issue. The one thing that I noticed about his cadence and how he was speaking,
yeah,
it sounds like he's reading from a children's book.
Oh.
Because nothing condescending about that.
No.
Right? Here's this big CEO, and he's talking to the kids again.
Yeah.
That's my impression of the way he speaks in that ad, in his little speech. It is just pathetic. It's just very simple and very, very matter-of-fact. No emotion whatsoever. And this guy's walking in his ad. Of course, he's walking through a neighborhood, a regular middle-class neighborhood. This guy.
I didn't realize this was an ad.
This wasn't an ad.
Oh, okay.
But I'm talking about his ad.
They overlap
because they're both completely insignificant and ridiculous and insulting as well, as you can tell.
He's seeming to flaunt his wealth.
Yes.
And he has these homes, he and his brother. Is his brother involved with his business dealings? I would imagine. And
yeah.
So they probably buy
a family thing, and they have homes all over the globe, especially Central America, where they're trafficking kids for sex.
So he knows
that's a great place to build a home. Always a great neighborhood.
Cheap property.
There you go.
Develop it, turn it around, sell it, make a profit.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I get it. You know. That's what he's done around Madison, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, all over the state, but Eric Hovde, forget it.
Well, we'll see how that race goes. Tammy Baldwin going for her third term, I believe, in the Senate.
Representative before that, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Walker's out there plugging away, ripping into her like she's just sitting there, you know, as a politician for a half a century, whatever he's saying.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
It's nuts.
Just, you know, well, who cares? You know, Scott, just, you know, get out of this. You know,
Is he running for? I mean, he's always piping up about stuff.
He's trying to stay relevant because he's the president of Young Republicans in America Foundation. What the heck?
The college.
Was it the Young Americans Federation or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's trying to remain relevant. But
yeah, the kids on campus. He represents these kids on campus throughout, you know, the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he goes around and he says, you know, kids shouldn't be able to vote until they're 21 out of college.
That's
really supporting the kids.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, he's standing behind Hovde, and he certainly doesn't like Baldwin, who's just sitting there not doing anything. Mm. Of course, if you know Baldwin's record, she constantly is bringing things to Wisconsin specifically.
Yes. And she's out there, you know, she's accessible here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
You know, you see her all the time, different community events and, you know, getting the input from her constituents and everybody else.
And Hovde hasn't been here for about 30 years.
Is that right?
It's always good to have somebody drop in every once in a while to visit one of his homes.
Pick up the checks and get those cashed. He's got a lot of work to do in
that. Like whatever mail's in the mailbox, you know, that wasn't forwarded. Right. I get it. You know, he's just checking on the house.
Okay.
See if it hasn't been
vandalized.
Wonder if
he owns a jet. Does he have a private jet? He jets around to check all his houses all over the globe? I would assume so.
You know, he's adding to global climate change. I get it.
Okay.
You know, just like the Swifties, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. Big money. 629, cloudy, 34 degrees, 57 for a high today. Coming up. Oh, boy, we've got news, we've got weather. We also have Pam Yonke with the agricultural reports. And also coming up, our special correspondent, Catherine Lake, will be checking in on the Birkebeiner.
Portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Old West Exterminators, the only exterminators in town who kill your roaches after giving them guns and allowing the roaches to draw first.
Ed. Seems fair.
Ed seems to be back again with another idea.
Ed's got businesses all over town. He's a busy, busy guy.
You know. If you ever see a full glass of wine and no one's attending it, that's Ed's wine.
It's the best. 635, cloudy this morning and 34 degrees. Looks like a nice day ahead of us, up to 57. You know, it's been warm. It's been mild. We've had hardly any snow.
We've loved this. This is fantastic. Everybody's got to love this warm weather.
There's a positive side to global warming, huh? Is that what we're going with
now? That's right, yeah.
Sure.
Farmers don't like it, but we like it here in the city, the big city.
Yeah, and you know, up north in Wisconsin, they had some snow earlier in the winter, but I don't think they have any snow left on the ground.
Why don't we check and see? We have a correspondent.
Yes, we do.
Checking to see if there's snow up north.
Catherine Lake joins us this morning, and she's up in Hayward, Wisconsin, attending Birkebeiner. You know, it started yesterday. It's going all the way through Sunday. There's a ton of events happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the snow conditions are up there.
I can't imagine.
I don't think they have any. Catherine? Fill us in.
They don't. It is crazy, weird Birkebeiner year. I gather from John that they've actually had some times like this in the past, but I think this is the most lacking of snow that they've ever experienced.
Yeah, I think this is the worst year they've
this
had.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
And this is the worst because it's the 50th anniversary?
It is the 50th annual Birkebeiner. It started in 73 with 35 skiers. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I found out because I have a very active friend named Dory who does everything, and she cross country skis, and she's in a club in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Birkebeiner organizer, and I can't even pull his name in my head right now, was there doing a demonstration or, you know, a talk a few weeks ago telling us about the Birke. And I thought, oh, yeah, I remember the Birkebeiner. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And everybody got involved. And Todd is up here. Our own Todd Alba is he's bunking in our WPZH Hayward station.
Wait a minute. He's staying at the station?
He's on a coffee machine. He's sleeping on the couch.
Wow.
And he's doing Pat Kreitlow's Up North News morning show right now on several of our civic media stations. Mm. And then he sticks around and he wanders about Hayward and he does his show in the afternoon as well from noon to two.
So he's doing a two-person show with Pat up there?
No, he's doing it solo.
Oh,
He is Mr. Civic Media.
Yes, he is.
Our Greg Bach, who does a show with Jane Matinair, of course, you know, on the network.
Yep.
Greg called him He called him, the Todd Father.
Good. It.
Oh, that's perfect.
He's our Iron Man.
That's a new name for his show.
Todd Father. I love it. So, he is living in the station. And I did do a couple of interviews. I grabbed a couple of interviews that we'll deal with tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
One enthusiast was just standing in the road in Hayward, not on snow, not on skis, because what they're doing, you'll deal with those interviews tomorrow, but what they're doing here is they made snow. Because Berkey starts in Cable, Wisconsin, right? And so they started making snow around the track there. There's a track. You start. Let me go back. 1973, 35 skiers started this thing.
Yeah.
And little did they know, they were about to change everything.
Right.
Everything in Hayward was about to change because now it's not only skiing, it's running and biking too.
Oh.
And there are photographs. You can look it up. The biking, some of it takes place on the snow. There's a Telemark ascent.
Insane.
There's the Epic Bike Fest, the Fat Bike Berkey, the Ladies Fat Bike Getaway, which I don't understand why it had to have the word fat in it, but that's just for them.
It's a big fat tires, right? Better on snow.
Okay.
Right. That's what it is.
You're probably right. But the run, there's a lumberjack run, the Berkey Trail run, seven events, one amazing day, and of course the ski business. And you see the video, and it looks like it would be really fun if they actually had snow to do it on. There's two different kinds of skiing. Did you know this?
No.
On cross-country skiing, there's skate cross-country skiing and classic.
Wow.
Country skiing. Yeah. So skating kind of, if you ever downhill skied, you know how you need to get to the lift and you get your skis sort of, you skate, right?
Right.
You do that. Yeah. Well, you can do that on cross country skis too, because they've changed the cross country skis a little bit so that there's sort of a clip that you can put your heel into so that you can, skate. And so there's that kind of.
Oh God, that's crazy.
This kind of cross-country. Yeah. So there's a 50K and a 53K. Mm-hmm. The 53K, a little longer for the classic. You got to stay in the grooves and you got to get there. And then with this other one, it's 50K. 50K! 50 kilometers.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. These people are crazy.
They are crazy.
You're starting this forest.
I can see why they have all those different events because of the warm weather and the, the unpredictability of what the weather's going to be like up there each and every year. So then you have running and biking and, this
all
stuff.
All year long.
I
think all year long. It's crazy. So they go through the forest in traditional years. Then they cross Lake Hayward, which can't do that.
Yeah.
And then they cross the America Birkenbeimer Bridge, nay, American Birkenbeimer International Bridge.
Yeah. International, of course it is.
International Bridge. And then the finish line is on Hayward's snow-covered Main Street, which, of course, it ain't. So they're just going to stay up in Cable. But I caught a guy on the street. We'll hear from him tomorrow. I caught a guy on the street, and he's very enthusiastic. And then I got two people from Switzerland.
Oh, no.
What are they doing?
Yes.
They're not impressed, right?
A man and his daughter, gorgeous people, by the way. And if he were single, I didn't get a chance to ask.
Yeah.
But that aside, they were here from Switzerland. He said, he's been here 7 years. She's done three. She skipped last year or something. Mm. Adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. Uh-huh. Hardly an accent. She said her name. I'm like, that's not from America. I don't know where you're from, but that's me. And very little accent. Just perfect. Mm. Perfect.
Wow.
Gorgeous. People. Yeah.
Well, she's up there in a country where they do have an accent.
Okay. And they do.
They
would. Do. They might.
Yes.
They should.
They'll go back home to Switzerland and start talking like, UPers. So
exactly. normally they have all these events going on. They get a big crowd up there, right? I mean, there's a lot of spectators usually for these things. But what about this year with their kind of
Big crowds?
I found parking on Main Street without any problem. Wow. Now, the actual thing doesn't start. I mean, the biggie doesn't start till Saturday.
Okay.
So that's what our 98Q country station that we own in Civic Media and in Park Falls, they're going to come down and be here for Joel Karnick. The morning guy there is going to be here. Big G and Gray.
Big G.
Big G. Greg. Okay. So they're all going to be here as well. And I'll
Big Greg.
Bugging them up. Big, no, yes. Okay. Big Greg. You can call him that if you want, but he's Big G.
Okay.
And Greg Gunderson is also going to be here. So they're going to have a Saturday covered and Greg, they're going to call Greg. In to the station in Madison. Yep. No, in Waukesha and speak to James Santel. Uh-huh. So we're covering the Berkey.
We're covering it. We've got every moment of the Berkey. Absolutely.
Very big news.
All the tiny little events that they've peppered into there, just in case there isn't snow or ice. I'm sure that they have.
Making that up.
I'm sure they have a stand. You know, what's that?
You're just making that up. I didn't have to add the run and biking because of that. They just added it over the years. And the events calendar. I'm going to go to the calendar here.
Okay.
For 50 years, they've been doing this. And they changed everything with the first one, you know, back in 73. Right. Yeah, so it's June. The bike Epic Bike Fest is in June. The Fat Bike Berkey is in March. Mm-hmm. This is the ski event. So yeah, there's just you just pipe down about the having no snow.
All
it's a big deal. No big deal.
Okay.
We're fine.
Okay, you know, sell those slushies, you know, those fruit-flavored slushies up there. Taken right from their trails.
Yeah, I imagine they have some food and refreshments for all the skiers and all the spectators. I'm sure they've got the margaritas and everything else.
The margarita slushies, I got that.
I heard it was margarita week.
Yes, it is.
So good.
All right. Well, thanks for that report.
I think it was Gordy who said Hayward's where people go to visit serial killers, and that was unfair.
I don't recall saying that.
I think, Your Honor, I
plead the fifth. I don't believe I said that.
Beautiful. Main Street is adorable. It's one of those typical, beautiful Middle America Main Streets with, you know, places to buy fudge and little pubs.
You know, we always we've been there. We've been all over Upper Wisconsin on staycations, basically. It's just fun.
Have you?
Visiting all these small towns, going into their antique shops, into little bars and restaurants. And cafes. I just love little towns. It's great stuff.
I could live here. Yeah. I could absolutely live here, especially with global warming turning it to 70 in February.
Yeah, if it's warmer up north, I'd live there too.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Catherine. Well, thank you for your report. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. You can get us update. What are you showing us there? What is that?
My pass.
Oh, the press pass?
Official.
We got a press pass.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Don't you love those?
I got a great
feel collection. So special.
Excellent. Catherine Lake reporting live from Hayward, Wisconsin, where the Berkebeiner is underway and going all the way through the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
big events.
Be fun.
Catherine, thank you.
Yeah.
We will
check
in with you again tomorrow and get more on the Berkebeiner. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
6:45. All right. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Wow. That was more information than I.
It's great. You just got to understand that, you know, because of the warm weather, they're really just kind of
tap dance,
shooting from the hip.
Well, you know, they better get used to this because what's it going to be like next year? If this year is like this.
That's true. That's true. Anything can happen, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But good. We appreciate the tap dance. What's going on there?
You know, we should check and see if Eric Huffy has a little home up there in Hayward.
Oh, I bet he's there.
Stay there.
Are you kidding me? Why wouldn't he be? Okay.
Oh, man. Okay.
Well, speaking of sports, Milwaukee Bucks take on Minnesota Timberwolves. This is tomorrow evening. This is going to be a big game. You can check it out on Civic Media apps. We've got a number of stations covering that. And that's the Bucks and the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow evening. 6:30 is broadcast time on Civic Media. Get the app. Check out the game.
All right. You know, the Supreme Court ain't so busy now because they didn't have to do anything about the redistricting maps.
Oh, the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Yeah, Wisconsin
taking some
Supreme
time off
Court.
Now?
Yeah, yeah. They're taking a little vacation, I suppose, because they didn't have to deal with that. But now, of course, they may be busy again.
What?
A Republican prosecutor has asked the court to decide whether the 1849 law that has been widely interpreted as a near complete abortion ban applies to the procedure of abortion. They're wondering about that, of course. You know, this is out of Sheboygan.
Yeah.
The county district attorney, Joel, I'm not even going to try his last name, petitioned the high court. It comes several months after a Dane County court ruled the law applied to feticide. Not abortions, and that ruling led abortion services to reopen, of course, in September.
I remember this.
So that has happened.
Yeah.
But now, you know, with this new possible lawsuit at the Supreme Court, I thought this little factoid was interesting, and that's why I'm bringing this up.
Okay.
Doctors joined the case to argue that the 174-year-old law didn't apply to abortions at all, but rather only to feticide. Now, we know that, and that's the decision so far, right?
Okay.
But then they pointed to this. They pointed to a 1994 Wisconsin Supreme Court case that found that the law back way back in 1849, that law only applies to somebody killing a fetus by assaulting its mother.
Oh.
Not consensual abortions. Right?
Okay.
Kind of murder there.
Right.
It's not clear why Josh Call, our attorney general, didn't initially mention the 1994 case or why abortion providers closed in on the June 2020, given the determination on feticide. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know why Josh did not bring up this important factoid, this decision by our own Wisconsin Supreme Court.
So that's a whole new wrinkle in
this. Yeah, it's a whole new wrinkle.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How is that going to affect things going forward?
Well, we'll see.
Wait and see.
We'll see. We'll see if they take the case.
Well, that's right. All right. 6:49, coming right back. Mad Radio, WMDX 92.7 on your FM radio dial, 1580 if you are an AMer. 608-879-8255 is our phone number. We've got more tickets to give away to the life and music of George Michael this Saturday night at the Overture. If you would like to go to that show, you can text us or call us at that number, 608-879-8255. Johnny?
Oh, I got this interesting story. This is this is kind of a dream come true for all of us in the media when we know that the press is on the same page. They finally want to pursue a story. They want to go after a story, and it'll be cut 3:18. This is very impressive, and we hope this catches on nationwide, where the press actually follow the comments by the speaker, and they keep just asking that one question. Get the guy to answer that one question, and all the press people in the room are asking the same question.
Really?
Instead of dropping it and moving on to the next question, they just kept asking the same question.
This actually happened?
This actually happened down in Tennessee, and I'm watching Tennessee.
Oh,
they are the standard bearer for the rest of the nation for Republican-managed states.
Yeah.
And one guy, Representative Bill Hagerty, got angry at the crowd of media reporters. And you've got to check this out. They don't let go of this one question. Now, they had protests down in Tennessee by Nazis. The Nazis were out parading, basically, not protesting, but just parading around, yelling and saying a lot of really nasty things.
Okay.
So Bill Hagerty, this representative down there, a state representative, he's down there. He's speaking about the border and the problem at the border. And this is what the press came up with. Let's listen to this interchange. It's fantastic.
You've used the word invasion today and throughout kind of the conversation about the border. This past weekend in Nashville, we saw a march of Nazis. This is one of several incidents that have happened in Middle Tennessee in the past few months and years. One of the things they were chanting was, quote, deport all Mexicans. How concerned are you that your rhetoric may be inspiring extremist groups who may themselves bring crime to Middle Tennessee communities?
Well, you know, what I said is not rhetoric. It's a fact. If you presented yourself at the border and saw what we've seen, I think you would agree with us. We are being invaded at the border. Think about the numbers. 10 million people have come into this country. That's an estimate because we're not sure how many people have gotten away. 10 million people in the past 3 years. If that's not an invasion, I don't know what is. You heard the number of people coming from different countries. Over 150 different nationalities just through that sector. Over 175 different nationalities have been apprehended across the southern border. When you've got a flood of Chinese coming into this country, you've got a flood of Iranians, Syrians, as I mentioned, on this one farm, 15 Syrians, what are they doing here? What is their purpose?
Seeking a better life.
We have a national security risk that's greater than we have ever seen.
But are you concerned? What's your message to extremist groups who may be marching in Middle Tennessee, again, who may be promoting some of the same language? What do you want them and the general public to know about? I mean,
I think your attempt to correlate my language with some extremist group is wrong. You're off base. I'm not going to further answer this.
You're just on the wrong track.
Then to that point, if the rhetoric that you're using is similar to the neo-Nazis we saw, do you believe that your rhetoric could be encouraging extremist groups here in Tennessee?
Let me be clear. I'm not using rhetoric. I'm citing a fact. You tell me 10 million people isn't an invasion, you need to check your facts.
But that is the same things we were hearing over the weekend from groups holding swastikas. So I'm trying to understand if you agree with their statements.
Your false attempt to correlate what I'm saying with some extremist group is wrong. I don't buy it.
It's literally what they're saying, Bill. Literally the same things.
Do you denounce them?
I'm not here to talk about extremist groups, nor tell you whether I'm... your attempt to correlate my language is just ridiculous.
Do you denounce
the white supremacists? It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm here to talk to you about what's happening at our southern border.
I'm just asking if you denounce them.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Neo-Nazi, any kind of white supremacist, right-wing extremist group whose literal goal is to promote violence within the United States. Do you denounce it?
I denounce any group that wants to promote violence in the United States. I denounce the terrorists that are coming across our border right now. I have a feeling something very bad is going to happen there. Or any other group that would do that. And I think you would find that to be the case with every person that serves in the United States Senate. What you're trying to do with this correlation, I think, is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Not selling it.
Saying exactly the same thing.
Wasn't that just fantastic? Yeah. I mean, seriously.
They just would not let him off the hook.
They're saying the exact same thing, Bill.
Bill.
Yeah, they were shouting, export all the Mexicans. And this guy's out there, basically saying export all the Mexicans and Iranians. Yeah. And whoever else he wants to include in that list, the Chinese. Of course, the answer to all of that, of course, is that they're seeking a better life. Those people trying to cross the border, get into the U.S., that's what our forefathers came here for, to do a better thing.
Yeah.
That's a dream come true for me to hear the press just get on board and ask that one question and get them to answer it. And they pursued it, and they didn't drop the ball. They kept going.
So much of this is happening in Tennessee. This, ever since that big controversy last year where they kicked those two black legislators out of the state house, and then they got reelected. The constituents stood up for them, and got them back in
immediately.
Ever since then, it's one thing after another in Tennessee.
Yeah. The Tennessee Holler has been covering this so extensively, and they have a lot of actualities. In other words, you can watch the videos of all of this taking place. None of this is just being, reinterpreted through the media. This is actual video of everything that's taking place down there, and it's all very revealing because what happens down there happens in every other red state. Republicans like Robin Voss here considers this a red state. I don't care what he says about being a purple state. He knows that it's been a red state, and they've had control of this state, and they are still trying to weasel control from Governor Evers in this case, you know, trying to limit his ability to veto certain things out of the budget.
Yeah, and get rid of his appointments. I mean, every time he appoints somebody, they question it and block it.
And I'm wondering where Governor Evers is getting all these volunteers to just be in the wings waiting to be nominated after the other ones get rejected by the Senate. Yeah. What is wrong with these guys? You know, the thing here is voters should be very angry about this because it keeps these spots open. It keeps these spots from actually doing anything in government and allowing the governor to do what he was elected to do. That's what's mm-hmm. happening here.
Yeah. Coming up on 6:59, we've got news, weather, and sports straight ahead. And coming back, frozen embryos have more rights than women.
Let the sun shine. It's the John Gordy Show.